welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and to keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your niece. Go wake up your nephew. Go wake up your mommy. Go wake up your daddy. Go wake up grandmama and granddaddy and let them all know that In Your Corner is on the air. Go wake them up now. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world. Go wake them up now. Go wake them up. Go get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Go get them out the bed, sleepyhead. All right, I know what I need to go do. I know what I need to go do. I just need to go out here and get my roosters. Let me go get my roosters. Come on, Benny. Come on, Red. Come on, Crow. Come on, Red. Come on. Come on, come on. There you go, Red. All right. All right. All right. Come on now. Wake them up, wake them up, wake them up, wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepy head. They done had enough sleep. They done had enough sleep. It's time to go to work. Time to go to work. All right. Thank y'all, roosters. Thank y'all. Y'all done a good job. Let me put y'all back up. Y'all done a good job. Let me go out here and get a good song. Let me go out here and get a good song. Let me go and get a good song. This is a song says, Hallelujah Anyhow. Reverend Clay Evans. And that great church up there in Chicago. Great choir.
Neither does he belong behind. But he
that's Reverend Clay Evans, ladies and gentlemen, and that great choir up there in Chicago. Hallelujah, anyhow. All right, all right. That's your song for the day. That's your song for the day. It's time to read the Bible. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. We're going to be reading out of the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be reading out of the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 11. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you, with all your knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't they be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister, for whom Christ died, is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who don't have the right not to work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes. This was written for us, because when farmers plow and thresh, they should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. For I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not misuse my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No. I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to us all. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean, then, that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He?
I have the right to do anything.
You say, but not everything is beneficial.
I have the right to do anything.
But not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything, and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him, but that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Those who are hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions.
All right. That was our scripture reading for today. We read out of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 11. May God bless those who have heard and who have read His holy word. All right. It's prayer time now, y'all. Come on, y'all. It's prayer time. It's prayer time. Come on, mama. Come on, grandbaby, granddaughter, grandson. Come on, daddy. Come on, sister, brother. Y'all grab hands. Y'all know how we do it. You know how we do it. Come on, let's bow your head, close your eyes. Let's pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for giving us another day. A day we did not earn, a day we did not merit. But it was by your amazing grace that you have given us another day. And not only another day, but another good week. And we thank you, dear God. We thank you, dear God, even for giving us a good weekend, dear God, where we was able to take care of some business on Saturday. And some of us was able to just even get some relaxation where we can just relax a little bit, dear God. And then, Lord, we thank you for on yesterday at the church, dear God. Thank you, dear God, for saving the lost and encouraging the saved and rescuing backsliders. Thank you for all the visitors that came. And we pray that they will even come on back and they will find a church home, dear God. So, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for refreshing us on yesterday and refueling us and filling us, dear God, with your Holy Spirit, dear God, so that we can run on a little bit further and see what the end gonna be. Now, Lord, we don't know what this week is gonna bring, but you already know, dear God. You've already saw the end of the week because you see the end even before the beginning. And so, Lord, we look to you, dear God, to lead us and to guide us and to direct us in the way that we should go, dear God. So touch in a mighty way. We're praying for all of our workers today, dear God, that they'll have a good day on the day and they'll have a good week. Use them, dear God, to help somebody and use somebody to help them, dear God. Lord, we pray that you would even help lighten the load for them, dear God, on the jobs by giving them good supervisors and good managers, dear God. And even those that seem to be tough, dear God, Lord, you know how to handle them, Lord. So we just put them in your hands. Lord, we pray for all of our students, all our teachers, dear God, all our bus drivers. Lord, we just pray for all of them that's going to work this morning, that everybody have traveling mercies, dear God. Now, Lord, we just put this day in your hands. We know you're going to bless because we ask it in Jesus' name. And for its sake, we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning on In Your Corner. Thank you for waking up with the Roosters. Now let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here, KLITB is at the top of the hour. We minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Now get ready, get ready, get ready. for that early morning sermon. We're going to play a commercial too, and then we're going to put that early morning sermon on for you early birds so you can catch this worm. All right, catch a good sermon this morning. All right. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll be back with Ghostbusters because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room where I give you a Christian response to issues by day. Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we're going to take a deeper look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we are in your corner.